Hi, this is Adam, and this is the Out of Bounds Podcast. That's the weirdest way I've ever started one of these. So on this episode, we have the gentleman from Cool Kia Bags. These guys are super, super nice people that you wouldn't, I guess, expect to be the owners of a company. They're just super down to earth, super nice, and genuinely seem to care about their customers over pretty much everything else. Steven and David Abramowitz, I hope I said their last name right, have been doing this for quite some time, and Cool Kia is starting to definitely gain some traction in retail shops and pretty much everywhere. I mean, they make a super, super nice product. We sell their product at the shop. It's our first year with it, but the product just makes sense. It's a premium bag company. But we basically, we talk about their business model. We talk about ski bags, and we talk about how they got into it, skiing, the whole nine yards. But I hope you guys enjoy this episode. But before we jump into it, our sponsors for this episode are Panda Poles. Shout out to Tanner and the Panda Poles crew. These guys make fully custom bamboo ski poles. So you guys 100% should check out pandapoles.com. There is a link on our website as well, but pandapoles.com will certainly do the trick. Our next sponsor is Drink Tanks. Drink Tanks is a beverage container company out of the Pacific Northwest. They make some super, super nice insulated cups, mugs, growlers, and have these like kegerator caps too. You'll be seeing some special custom stuff coming from them shortly. But that's the deal for today, pretty much. I hope you guys enjoy the episode. Make sure you follow Cool Kia at KULKEA. I can't believe I spelled that right on the first try. On Instagram and www.coolkia.com is their website. And also like, rate, review, and subscribe to the show if you don't already. I'm sure you all have already done that, but I'm just reminding you. Enjoy the episode. Thanks, guys. Bye.
It's good. So welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Appreciate you having. So why don't you introduce yourselves and we'll tell the people a little bit about what you guys do.
So
go ahead.
Sure. So I'm Steven Abramowitz, and I am the co-founder and chief marketing officer and chief bottle washer for Cool Kia.
Dave Abramowitz. I am the other co-founder and the CEO and floor sweeper at Cool Kia.
I like how you guys have, I like that the differentiation, I guess, between your guys' jobs and in terms of what you do, the bottle cleaner and the floor sweeper.
That's right. That's great.
So what do you guys do? What do you guys make? What's the product?
Sure. Do you want to answer or me, Steve?
Go for it.
So yeah, well, what we make are gear bags, and that's what we've been known for in the ski industry. And we started the business. This is season number 7. And
sick.
Yeah. So it's been great. The whole idea of what we make is very premium product, high grade, high quality product.
Mm. Yeah, and it's super nice. So, like, the bags, I guess it's been years. I already have forgotten. I do that all the time. Like, when people tell me their name, when people tell me what, like, basic information. So, you said 7 years that you guys have been
doing? This is season number 7.
Season number 7, okay.
Been at it for 10 years, but this is season number 7.
Okay, so what made you want to start a bag company? Because that's a weird thing to just want to start on a whim, right?
So I'll jump in on this. So, both of us had prior careers, Steve in marketing, myself in the telecommunications industry, and we're both entrepreneurial. You know, we had worked together, putting ourselves through school when we were younger, in college, everything. We were in a painting company, not artistic, but, you know, because we have no artistic ability whatsoever. Painting houses.
Yeah.
And we always, you know, never lost the real desire to make a business or be, you know, run our own business. And at the end of the day, you know, we found a need. I was skiing up in Vermont, Stowe, with a bunch of buddies and, you know, old college friends. And it was one of those ones I'm like, it was frustrating to get on the mountain and to do it. And I realized that the gear bag we had weren't good. And having worked with a lot of engineers and designers and people in the telecom industry, I was like, look, you can make better. You can do better. So I called Steve after that and after the weekend. And he said, well, put something together. And I did. And, you know, next you know, we kind of jumped and went for it.
Yeah. Just to add to that, I mean, as skiers, you know, there's a lot of gear, and there's more and more gear every year with technology or technological pieces and new fabrics, this, that, and the other thing. So, and then you throw kids in the mix. It's like you're showing up to the mountain, you forgot something, crap, you know, and now you have to go to the shop, and pay a premium for a pair of gloves that you really don't want but you need,
right?
That kind of thing. So it's more about just making it easier to get from the lot to the lodge or onto the snow as quick as possible, and then do it in a way that's better than what's out there in terms of making a premium product, as Dave mentioned, and making it really skier centric. So locating pockets, locating compartments or storage areas that are, you know, intuitive, so you can get at them quickly and really get on the snow more efficiently.
Right, and it's kind of a lifesaver, especially for the kid. Like you mentioned, kids. Like that's so when Chris Putney brought the bags into the shop a couple weeks ago, or like came in, did like a quick impromptu clinic. Like my mother was there, and the first thing that she was saying was like, the kids' bags are the best. Like it's the best kids' bag that exists. Not that the other bags aren't great or the best bag that exists, but the kids' bag is definitively like it's the best because everything's together, everything stays dry, everything is like it's compartmentalized the way it should be. It just it makes sense for skiers, right?
Yeah.
Why do you think that is? I guess why haven't other brands done that? Like why isn't it that easy for someone else to just say, okay, let's make a premium product? And I guess we're saying premium product, we should clarify it's not. It's premium quality. It's not necessarily premium. It's not crazy expensive.
No. We're actually only slightly more expensive than the competition. But you know, so kind of getting at it too is that, you know, that weekend skiing, you know, see, you know, we're real skiers. It's our passion. We love it. You know, we had careers doing something else, but this is, you know, what we love to do. And the difference I think is that you know, being real skiers, real outdoor people, hikers, mountain bikers, you know, cyclists, you know, travelers, we're doing the walk. You know, we're actually out there. We're not just some guys sitting in behind desks and saying, hey, you know, this is a new market to conquer. Let's move our product from this market to that market, or let's just make a bag. And, you know, we actually think about what the skiers need because we're skiers, and we reach out to skiers, and we kind of from there bring together and say what this product should be and how it should work. Mm-hmm. And then it wraps in like with what Steve and I talked about in the very beginning when we started the business was, look, if we're going to do a business, we're going to do it right. And for us, it means, you know, it's going to be, you know, the best product. It has to be the highest quality, the best design, technically featured, and we have to make it in an ethically responsible way. And I think the others are, you know, I can't speak as them individually, but they're, you know, at the end of the day, it's market and product and profit, and that's not what drives us. This is a passion for us.
Yeah. You
know, we could have stayed doing what we were doing before. This is what we want
and
to
obviously
do.
And obviously, it's more profitable to be in a different industry.
Than absolutely.
Like for sure. Like right. You're not doing it for the money.
Yeah. No. We both took haircuts in terms of our financial
well-being. Yeah.
But, you know, just to quickly add to Dave, I mean, you know, as you say, we're coming at it as skiers versus the other guys. You know, one of our main competitors, they started off making bags for rollerblades. Another guy was a luggage provider or developer. So they just say, hey, there's another market we could go into or our products go into versus saying, we started here, let's make the best bags for that use case.
Mm. Yeah, I think it's interesting. The ski industry in itself, there's so much money that goes into skiing and it's so expensive, but everybody that's in skiing seems to be like, everybody's taking haircuts. Like you said, it's like everybody's doing it because they like to do it. And I think that's important to distinguish between the brands that are doing it because they like to do it and the brands that are just doing it because it's a new segment of their market, right?
Right.
I mean, Thule's great, right? But Thule makes bags now, and I'm like, what the fuck? Why are we doing it? How many things can we do, right? And do well. Granted, they're making a pretty decent product for what it is, but that's not the same kind of thing, and you're not supporting the same kind of brand when you're buying.
Yeah, we're seeing ourselves. You know, we see ourselves as you know, we're really vertical. And you know, when we get into the ski market, you know, we're drilling down and saying, hey, you know, all the skiers, what do they need? We're not just doing a cursory review of crossing many different markets. You know, we see ourselves as not, an inch thick and a mile wide. We're very deep down into ski. And every single product we put out, like you mentioned this, you know, the children's bag, we looked around and said, you know, why does that make it so better? The organization, the materials, and, you know, down to the really wide shoulder straps for children. We didn't just put little skinny shoulder straps to dig in, you know.
Yeah.
You know, we're thinking about everything for each particular user, and we're going as far on as we can. And we're not cutting corners on, you know, like cheap zippers or buckles. You know, everything we use is high quality, and that's because we walk the walk. We know when that stuff fails, when you're out there freezing cold or lugging stuff with kids and families and or yourself, it's a real disappointment.
Right. And I guess, so what I think is interesting is like you guys have, and I like this, but I guess this is kind of a loaded question. you guys have a way of doing things where like you're doing bags and you're just doing bags. And I like that because you're doing something and you're doing it really, really well. But do you guys have plans to expand into other aspects? Like, are there other bagging ventures, I guess, that you guys want to, like, is that a thing that you guys are planning to do? I don't know how else to phrase it, you know?
Become bag guys.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. That's exactly what it is, right? Is that, so are you just planning on doing skiing or is it, do you guys have plans to venture off into other areas?
So the answer is this. Ski is our, you know, it's our main passion and it's what drives us. It's what our brand is. You know, our products are ski inspired. But the reality is we're outdoor people. I hike. I was up in Mount Washington 2 weeks ago and, you know, nice. with all the snow and hoping those winds weren't going to blow us over.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was pretty brutal. It was my hardest climb I've ever done. Even doing Tarkamans in April was easier.
Yeah.
But it was great. You know, we're bikers, you know, we're cyclists, we're mountain bikers, we're hikers, we're travelers. You know, Steve and I both travel the U.S. and the world, you know. So the answer to your question is we're definitely looking at other things. We're going to stay at our expertise. We're not going to ever try and get into like skis or ski boots.
Yeah.
You know,
that is just not us.
We'd be faking it. We're only going to do, you know, what we know we can do really well and where our passions lie. And so the answer is yes, we're definitely going to be expanding.
Okay. So 7 years is still fairly new. What have been some of the bigger struggles that you guys have had in terms of getting the product out the door? Because initially it's like, especially, and the name is not exactly easy to say or pronounce, so we'll get into that and where it came from. But like, what's been the biggest hurdle for you guys getting it off the ground? Because it seems like you're at a point now where it's really going somewhere, you know?
So there's lots of challenges.
Every stage is a challenge. We could be here until tomorrow. But regarding that particular question, I think the hardest thing is just, you know, getting in the door.
Yeah.
There's a market that's dominated by existing players, by larger players. And when you knock on the door, a lot of people are like, I don't really care. The guy I'm working with is fine. You know, I know that rep, he's fine and the product's fine. It's good.
Right.
Here you come in and saying, hey, just give me a few minutes, take a look at our product. And the first year here I was, you know, driving around with a bag in the trunk of my car going throughout New England. I was in Maine, Vermont, New Hampshire, Massachusetts and saying, hey, look at my bag. And we got 12 really nice specialty shops to open up. They basically said, hey, you know, they gave me the 5 minutes and said, yeah, this thing is great. Wow, sure, I'll take some. So that first year we got 12 stores and we've stayed with all those and we've grown it. We're into hundreds of specialty shops and premium locations now because that's what we do. As the brand is growing and people are hearing about us, the door's now open. But that initially breaking in was really hard because you just hit a wall with most places. I don't need to see anything more. What I'm having is fine. But we're like, look, what we're going to give you is much better.
Yeah.
Right.
And as a buyer, I think it's hard to, like, when you're looking at it from this side of the table, I guess, you're like, do I really need to deal with another credit app? Do I really need to deal with another company? I already have, like you said, I have correct. Stuff that's fine. You know, like, it does the job. Nobody's really complaining about it. What's making this different? So, and bags are one of those things that, you're right, there's so many players. It's hard to, like,
yeah,
it's got to be hard to distinguish yourself.
Right. Yeah, and I'm, to add to that, we've been really surprised, pleasantly surprised, at people's reactions to our products. So, yeah, it's a bag. It's a ski bag or ski boot bag, and they are sweet. But we get people year after year, like we're doing the Boston show coming up next week, or later this week, I should say. We get people year after year coming up to us, like, loving our products and gushing about them, and I'm like thinking to myself, like, it's just a bag, right?
Hey, wait a second, it's not just a bag,
you know. But that it's amazing once they touch, feel, and use the product, they get really excited, and they you know, we get so many comments. This made my life so much easier. I'm so psyched. I'm telling my friends. I'm telling so and so, and that kind of thing. And I think from a retailer perspective, you know, from a buying perspective, you know, when you feel the product, when you see the reaction from people, I mean, people come to our website to look for stores where they can buy the product. So we are driving people into shops as well,
right?
As well as providing some air cover and various marketing advertising opportunities or our campaigns. But it's just amazing to me, you know, great product and people freak out over bags.
Yeah. At the end of the day, it's a bag, but it's like...
But Steve actually mentioned a good point. Like, we're doing the Boston Ski and Snowboard Expo this coming week. That show was huge for us, being a local show and a local brand.
I bet.
And yeah, the first year I remember doing it, we didn't have any dealers with inventory yet. You know, they were just receiving inventory. So the folks who run that show said, look, you can actually come and sell directly because, you know, you're not in any stores, you're not competing. So we brought a bunch of boxes with bags to the show and we sold tons of them, just sold out so many. And it reinforced to us that skiers actually wanted something better. They weren't getting it. They weren't being offered it through the channels that they could get it at. And I remember also getting at one of the shows there, you know, we couldn't get sales reps that weren't, you know, to rep our product yet. Mm. And because they all want something that's existing. And I remember a rep coming over at the end of the show as we're closing down saying, hey, you know, can I rep that product? He saw how much product went out of the booth.
Yeah.
And boom. And from there, everything just took off.
Yeah.
So.
And is he still with you guys?
So there was a team of them. His name was Jeff Moody and the other one was Chris Putney.
Yep.
Jeff was the one who approached me and Jeff and Chris have actually, they're great friends, but they split in different brands.
Yeah.
And they negotiated over who would get us. They both wanted to keep us. So
they're both great reps.
They're both terrific.
To be entirely fair, they're both excellent reps. So
yeah.
Good guys.
It's you guys do well at the Boston Ski Show, huh? I always avoid going as another shop. I'm like, what the fuck do I need to go there for? Like I see all these people anyway. It's like I go all the time. Like it's, but that being said, there is something about it that I do not understand why people want to go and see all this stuff in one place. And like,
it's the beer.
I get, maybe that's what it is. I don't know, dude, there's like, it's gotta be something, but it is good for brands like that. And that's one of the important things I think when you're starting is going to expos, is going to that. Yeah. It may seem small. It may seem like you get one or two people out of it. But like, even when we were starting this, it was like, we'd have somebody on and we'd gain two new listeners out of it. We'd gain five new listeners out of it because of somebody they'd like put it up and, you know, their friend would listen to it. But then that friend would still listen to us on the next one. And that's just kind of how it grows. And that's the same way, I guess, when you're doing those expos.
But, you know, you need to connect with the actual skiers. And that's what we found.
Sure.
That show has been terrific for us. And we do that, you know, throughout the country. You know, we do the Colorado show, we do this. Steve just did a show down in, Steve and Jamie, who was our graphic designer, did all the work. They just did a show down in Dallas in October. And so we're out there doing it, and we're actually meeting with skiers, we're actually meeting with dealers and you know, shop personnel all the time. And, you know, the funny thing is, when we started doing the Ski and Snowboard Expo, none of our competitors did that show. And they're all in there now because they've seen the success. And I think, again, it comes back to just, you know, look, we're doing the right thing. We're doing it for the right reasons, and we're not just doing the simple corporate decisions that people would make at companies. You know, we've been there, done that. We know how that works, and we're going with our passion and what we think is the right thing.
Yeah.
Right. Do you think that you guys are benefiting that? Like, so there seems to be this push towards localized and smaller brands over the last 2 to 5 years, we'll say. Do you think you guys are benefiting from that as well? Like people want to feel a connection to a brand. Like we've said like three times, it's just a bag, right? But at the same time, people want to feel connected to everything that they're buying. So do you guys think that that's playing a part in it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, we go back to these shows every year and we talk to the same people. They've seen us grow and they give us feedback.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're also on the phone. You know, we talk to people. You know, we pick up the phone still. You know, we're still emailing with customers all the time. It's important because we actually get a lot of great feedback that by talking to people that you know, we wouldn't, even ourselves on the snow, wouldn't be able to figure out. You know, for example, we have a heated bag now with the thermal tracker, which was driven by skiers saying to us, hey, look, you guys make the best bags, but you need a heated bag. And you know, I'm from the East Coast, and so is Steve, and we're like, a heated bag? You know, I heard them. But you go out west, you know, Colorado, Utah, California, all those areas out there, it's huge.
Yeah.
And those skiers told us, look, you got to do it. So we went out and made the best heated boot bag, but not talking to skiers, we wouldn't have really had the drive to do that. So you have to do it.
And I'd say, I mean, there's, especially at the Boston show, countless of occasions where people are like, oh, you guys are local? Cool, I'm buying from you.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that was like the first selling point, which is, we'll take that all day, every day, but that's not going to work for us in Colorado or Dallas.
Yeah, you're not local anymore.
Right, but they do appreciate the independent brand. They do appreciate that, you know, what comes with that. Attention to detail, better craftsmanship, higher quality, skier-centric products. So I think all those things combined have definitely been good, and we have benefited from that move to independent or smaller manufacturers.
Yeah, and I think that's definitely it's a good piece of it, right? Like, because people feel like they need to be, they want to know where their money's going more than ever, I think. And I think because of where social media is and the internet is, people feel like they can find out. So if they can find out, they want to know. And that's what's making the difference in brands.
Yeah. They feel a connection, you know?
Yeah. It's obviously, big brands are still selling. I'm sure Camelback is still doing fine. I'm sure Thule's still selling bags. But like, it's a different connection. Yeah. You know, it's a different right. customer, and that's where you're going to see more and more.
But even, you know, like the local thing, like you and Steve talked about, is actually huge. But like, you know, when we talk about even with Colorado, we go around, we meet with right. people, they get to look us in the eyes,
yeah.
and they get to say, hey, we trust these guys,
yeah.
and you know that they're doing the right thing, that we're giving a great product, and that is a huge thing. Having a connection with the people who run the brand, who make the products and what they do all the way through, and you know, we talk to them and say, hey, look, we're giving you, this is us making it. You know, you're looking at us, and the product all the way from the beginning to going to your hands is a great product.
So let's talk. Speaking of product, well, let's talk product for a minute here. Yeah. So what are the different levels that you guys offer in terms of product? Where does the price point start? And just kind of talk us through the line a little bit. You don't have to go every product, but so like, obviously you mentioned the heated bag. We definitely want to hear about that. We
yep.
definitely want to hear about the regular boot trekker, I think it's called, right?
Yep.
Those are the two that I'm most familiar with. So, I mean, what's the deal with those bags? Why do people like them?
Sure. So real simple. I'm going to start with the heated bag just because you mentioned it. It's built on our Trekker platform, okay. which is what the boot trekker is and the powder trekker. And the whole idea of that, as Steve mentioned earlier, is that it's an organizer. It's intuitive. Right. Everything has a place, and it's in the right place for it to, you know, because as skiers, we know, hey, look, a boot should be here. Your gloves should be here. Your face mask should be here. The thermal trekker has that organization, just like the boot trekker and the powder trekker. On top of that, other brands make heated bags, but we can do in about an hour and a half of heating what they can do in 8 hours. Because okay. what we did is, rather than just follow what everybody else is doing, we said, look, there could be a better way to heat. So we individually heat both boots. We fully wrap the boot, like Taco wrap them in heat on side boot pockets, so not just in the middle of the bag. So it's much quicker.
Conduction.
It's conduction yeah. heat versus just transferring through the air. Not just heating a pocket, but heating the boot directly. So much quicker, much more efficient, much more energy efficient too. Then on top of that, we made it into a travel bag. So all the straps can tuck away. So you have an organizer, a heated bag, and a travel bag all in one. That's what makes the thermal trekker a really great bag. The boot trekker now is basically the thermal trekker without the heating element. And that's what put us on the map, because when we came out with that, there was nothing organized or high quality like our bags are either.
Mm. So. Yeah, and I think there's a lot of bags out there where there's some separate, like you separate the boots on each side and you stick your stuff in the middle, but A, there's not that much space to put the rest of your gear, which is kind of a problem. Or you're spending way more money than you need to for a product that I would, so for the quality that you guys are offering, I would argue that most companies don't have anything, like you're saying premium product, and that's what's kind of sticking in my head, right? But I think for what you guys are offering, it's actually cheaper than what a lot of companies are offering, right? Because like there's all these like whatever the pro level is from a lot of these companies, right. is like $150, $160 right. bucks still. So it's the same money basically as what everybody else is offering.
Right.
It's just the same. You're just not advertising it as this like crazy high end one. It's your regular product.
That's
you know?
Right. Yeah. Our prices, the products that we put out there probably should be higher priced.
Yeah.
But we're not doing that. We're growing a brand and we're trying to bring great product to skiers, and we don't have a massive organization that we need to feed.
Yeah.
You know, that's not the thing. So we're actually putting all that into the product. You know, there are simple things, like you mentioned, there are others who have, quote, pro level.
Right.
But, you know, in my opinion, the fabrics we use are higher quality.
Yeah, for sure.
The buckles, the zippers, all the things that break. And then on top of that, the designs we use are just so much smarter, because you mentioned earlier, like, how you know, you have this bag and you put everything in, but there's not that much room.
Mm.
We're down to, like, how we design things to maximize space in the bag. You know,
right.
we've really thought things through, and little things we've done too, like on our Trekker line that we mentioned, we have helmet slings. We're the first ones yep. in the market to bring helmet slings. So yep. that takes what's a 70-liter bag now basically turns into like a 90-liter bag,
yeah.
And you ventilate your helmet on the outside. So things like that are what we're putting into it.
Yeah, and I would add to that a couple things on the price point. So, you know, we have a lower price point bag, you know,
right.
$50 bag, $60 bag. You know, starting with kid stuff, and then going up the ladder, even up to our double roller, you know, a couple $100, super bag. It's bomber.
Which is really nice. Like, it's actually a super, super nice. That's something that not enough companies make, by the way, is
right.
a good roller bag.
Yeah. Right. Like, yeah. And I mean, especially with, you know, the advent of the Icon and Epic Passes,
yeah.
where people now are somewhat incentivized to travel to ski to other locations. So that becomes a bigger need in the market. But you know, also on the price point. So when we came in the market, we actually lifted the price points up a little bit.
Yep.
Some of our competitors followed suit. So
yep.
we moved the market a bit, as well as You know, if you look at some of their packs now, they resemble some of the colorways or features that we had in place 5 years ago. So they're seeing that we, you know, we're coming out with these innovative features and leading the market in that sense. And their answer is, well, let's steal what we can from them. So yeah. That pushes us.
That's what the market does, though. It's like, is exactly. Once one thing comes out, like everybody yep. just kind of steals what they want.
Totally get it.
And move on.
Yeah. I mean, look at Yeti.
It's right? a good thing though, right? It's the, yeah, exactly. No, like for real though. I mean, that's what most people do. That's what most brands seem to do. It's like when Oakley came out with that goggle that has the, I just talked about this on the last gear talk we did. Like when they came out with the goggle that changes the color of your lens or the tint
right,
of your lens,
right.
all of the sudden, as soon as they started advertising that thing, it was like Spy came out. Like, oh yeah, yeah, we're releasing this now. It may not be yeah. ready, or maybe it wasn't yeah. ready, but it's ready now. Like yeah, we're yeah. ready to go. Yeah, right. And same thing with electric. It's like, that's how the market works. It's just, I mean, right. Imitation's the sincerest form of flattery,
completely,
right? Like, that's
yeah.
what you can
yeah.
do.
Yeah.
So it's a good product. I guess.
Yeah. So, I mean, we keep innovating, keep, you know, making new things and products and features.
Yeah.
And, you know, they can, you know, nip at our heels all they want.
Yeah.
It just keeps us a little more upright and moving forward.
And you guys are in a unique position where you're a small enough brand and that works to your advantage because you can say, okay, we want to change this. Let's change it now, you know, versus another company has to go through a million hoops when they want to change something and add a new product.
Right.
I'm sure for you guys, it's like the conversation starts here and then you move on from there. Right.
Well, that's it. Yeah. We never want to become stale. We never want to yeah. get stuck. We never want to be one of those companies that just keeps pumping out the same thing because we have no choice.
Yeah.
So we're always going to be moving.
Good.
You know, my background from the telecom and Steve from the tech, you're always moving. You're always yeah. improving. And that's how we do it.
Yeah.
Keep it very flat in the organization and move quickly.
Why does someone want a heated bag for people that don't understand? Because I don't understand it still, and I sell plenty of heated bags.
I can tell you this.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's hear
it. So I can tell you this. I used the heated bag for the first time last year. It's when we came
okay.
up with the product.
No, he used it the first time when we were developing it in the office, and I look right. over, and it's a cold day, and his feet are in one of the bags. He goes, they're good foot warmers, too.
That room is freezing. Yes, it warms your boot, right? Everyone thinks first off, oh, it's going to be nice to put a nice warm boot on, right? Start right. the day warm. The bigger benefit from my perspective is it softens the boot, makes the boot so much easier to put on.
Right.
You slide right into that boot, and then you're toasty. It's not hot. It's warm enough, though, so that you're not necessarily going to – foot's not going to sweat in it, and that creates problems in itself, right?
Right.
So you slide right into the boot. It's warm, and you're ready to go, and not to mention the fact that – you know, when you start the day soft, you know, it just makes a world of difference. I will not go back to a non-heated boot bag at this point.
Really?
I won't.
All right. I don't want to try one because I'm not.
You're not going to be stuck.
Yeah, exactly. I'm never going to be able to go to a different bag. I know I will because I'm like that too. Where like now I just like stick them by my heaters in my car as I'm going up there and like, which is obviously like that's a way to do it. But especially when you have a full car of people, there's not as much room to do that. And it's just nicer to have it done the correct way. There's plenty of janky ways to get things done.
Sure.
But if you have the correct tool to do it, you probably should do it.
Plug it in the car. You can plug it in at home. You're good to go.
When we started seeing
breakfast
heated
burrito in there.
Yeah, that's weird. Yeah, don't do that. Your boots will be, for sure don't do that. But I mean, I'm sure you could, but I don't know why you'd want to. But I mean, here I was talking about a couple weeks ago on the show, I was talking about like somebody had mentioned like what snacks you eat on the way up to the hill. And I was talking about eating egg sandwiches like out of my jacket. And stuff, you know, like you put them in there in the morning in like some tin foil or something, and then on the lift you kind of just snack on them on the way.
Yeah.
But that's how you get first chair. but anyway, so where do you guys ski mostly?
We ski around quite a bit. So, geez.
What's your favorite place to ski if you don't have a home mountain that's
locally?
Yeah.
I mean, I'll say this.
I like Jay.
Yeah. You like Jay. I do a lot of Sugarbush. I went to UVM years ago and had the pass there. So that's where I learned to ski. We've done a lot at Sunday River, done a lot at Stowe before, you know, back in the day, you know, back in the 80s, I was at Stowe a lot when they threw wool blankets on you. They're going up the lift there.
Yeah.
We've done a lot of, my kids did a lot of Okemo, you know, learning during the weekdays and stuff. But we travel around now. You know, that's for example, with the business we travel, but also I'm the stage my family, my kids want to ski. So we're going to Snowbird in Alta
Sweet.
Over Christmas break. And awesome. I just booked last night. We're going to go to going to Kitzbühel in Austria in February break. And I took my oldest daughter, my 15-year-old, to St. Anton in Austria last year. It's, you know, you get $450 round trip tickets. Like, how can't you go?
Yeah. So, it's funny. Somebody else just mentioned that same thing to me like 2 weeks ago. I was like, have you ever been to St. Anton? I was like, no. He was like, $450. And I was like, what do you mean it's $450 it's bucks? Like, why are we doing that? What? Like, it's, I guess I'll have to get out there. But so, do you guys actually get to go skiing though? Because like most people that are in this industry,
I do.
Okay, you actually get some days in.
Yeah, he does.
Okay, you don't.
I've gone out to we do a rep show in Portland. We support our, our reps, and I got a buddy who lives out there, and we had a hook up with some other friends. I don't know if you know Joe Chapari.
Sounds familiar.
All right. So, anyways, he hooked us up, and we were skiing at Timberline.
Sick.
And skiing over.
Timberline's a blast.
It's awesome. I love it up there. I was telling Dave he's got to get out there. Yeah.
Any of them up there, the Hood in general, like whether it's Meadows or Timberline or any of the spots up there is amazing. It's just a different feeling.
It totally is, And I hear they're actually going to connect Govey with Timberline on a lift.
They are. I heard that too. It's pretty crazy. So I rode that, like that connection for the first time last summer where like you can basically ride from Timberline all the way down into Govey camp. And that even that's amazing. Like you get dumped off it. I wouldn't recommend anybody ride their bike up to the top because that would be too much and too much on the road. But I mean, you can take trails like single track trails cut pretty much all the way from the top and just, it's basically like a downhill course, like an all mountain downhill course. You can take all the way to the center of Govey. And it's amazing.
Yeah.
Like it's just a different environment over there.
Well, that's what I hear all the time. I'm back working and he's off skiing.
And he's off telling you about how great it is out there.
But then I stick it to him like, hey, I'm taking the family over to Europe.
Exactly. There you go. That's trip. As long as you even it out somewhere.
Yeah, we have a sales rep has got a place out in Tahoe, right on Alpine Meadows. Great. So he gave me the tour of Squaw and Alpine, did that. It was really great. And we're actually going out to the Ski Hall of Fame. We sponsor them. And John Egan's actually one of our ambassadors. He was inducted at Stowe a couple of years ago. But we're going out there again to sponsor the event, and this year it's out in Park City.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So it's in April. I actually am hoping I could ski. I broke my ankle last February. Yeah.
How'd you do that?
Nothing fun, really.
Yeah. But. It's never anything fun. Even I did my ACL in May. No, March. Too late in the season, I guess. But it's miserable, any injury. So hopefully you'll get to ski.
Yeah, I got a little hardware that needs to come out next month. And
Really? It's still in there? So how long does that take to recover from? It's apparently a long time.
It can be a year.
What the fuck?
I mean, the bone's healed. It's just everything else around
it. He had one of those bad breaks where the bone just snapped the other
way. Oh, God, dude, that's awful.
Hayward?
Yeah, that's awful. That's what it did?
Yeah.
That's miserable, dude. You see that? Like, when I was watching that game, and when that happened, I was like, there's no way it just did that. Like, oh, man, that's awful. Yeah. Yeah. Well,
new subject.
On the road.
Yeah, let's not think about this.
How about that Red Sox?
Yeah, for real. I cannot think about that. Let's move on to something else here. So what's the next step for you guys? Like, I mean, in terms of growth, like, are you guys in a place where you feel like you're expanding all the time, or are you in a place where go for it?
Yeah. So it's a great question. And, you know, we are growing up, you know, we've had the growing pains, we'll continue to have them. But we've, you know, done things like got our operations in line. So Dave and I are no longer, packing bags and shipping.
I would imagine that. Yeah.
You know, that's a day job in itself, and then we couldn't do anything else. It's great when we got the orders, we're happy, but, you know, we're shuttling back and forth to UPS, FedEx, whatever. It was a challenge. So, you know, we got our operations in line to allow us to focus on sort of bigger things, if you will. So continuing development, you know, we're building out our team. We've added some athletes, some ambassadors. We're going to continue to do that, you know, really forge and solidify relationships, which I think are really important. You know, us being able to get out, meet people, whether they be skiers, reps, owners, tangential businesses, whatever, is really important for us. Because, you know, at the end of the day, you know, it is about money, but in this industry in particular, we found it's really about relationships. And we now have more time to go out and build those relationships so we can continue our product development and make cool stuff.
Yeah. And on my end, it's more of, you know, I do the product R&D and supply chain stuff. That's what I handle a lot of now. And I'm actually able to focus on that hardcore now. Whereas in the past, you know, we we had, as Steve said, we had a day job and we had a night job. So now it's, we're focusing. We have more, we brought more people on. We've put new systems in place. So we've prepared the company for growth. And we've gotten ourselves into, you know, able to focus on the work that he needs to do in marketing and relationships, and I need to do on development and supply chain.
Right. It's nice to get to a point where you can actually do the job that you are good at, right? Like the job that you want to do, as opposed to
I pack boxes pretty well.
Yeah, I'm sure you do, but it's also probably not the job that you want to be doing all the time, because there's other jobs that you're capable of doing. You know, like, it's like I deal with that at the shop a lot too. It's like I want to mount the skis. I want to tune the skis. I want to sell the skis. I want to talk to everybody. I want to answer every phone call, but it's just not realistic. Like, you're just going to shoot yourself in the foot if you just try to do everything all the time. Yeah. And that's, like, I think finding good people is the hardest part.
So the getting out of, like, the fulfillment aspect of it, you know, we hit a point, it was about two seasons ago, where we had a warehouse, and we had FedEx and UPS coming in left and right, and we were able to handle it with Steve and myself and some others, and the volume of product was getting so large, we're like, we need a bigger warehouse again, and now we're gonna have to hire some people. And that's when we made the decision, like, look, that's not our business to be in fulfillment. So we outsourced that to a great partner, and they handle all the inventory, storage, and fulfillment. And that was just the best move we made.
Yeah, and we emptied out your basement too.
And we did. It was great. I have my garage bay back, and the warehouse is gone. It's all good.
Yeah, the warehouse isn't in your backyard or in your house. Yeah, that's got to be a relief for sure.
We were literally that company that started off in the garage, then down to the basement, then to that combined with the warehouse, then to a larger warehouse, and then now.
Yeah.
So we've done all the steps.
That's what you got to do. I mean, that's a newer business. That's what the program is. I mean, we were talking about it before. It's like, I can't imagine what it's like having an 18-wheeler roll up down your residential street. I mean, it's not a great thing to do.
Three of them.
Like, it's, yeah. That's three of them. Okay. So, I mean, yeah, it's definitely not where you want to be. I mean, you want to be at a place where you're like, this is my space. This is where that needs to go. It doesn't all go to my house. You
that's
know?
Right.
That's it's, right. That's definitely mixing business and your personal life probably a little too much, but so Cool K, where did the name come from? Why is it called that? Are we happy with that name choice still?
So actually, the name, Steve and I were dual citizens. Our mom was from Finland.
Cool.
And so we came up with the name. Actually, the name means to trek or to go or to move in Finnish.
That's
and
awesome.
The whole idea is what we're making is product that actually keeps you moving. It makes it easier for you. Steven said, people, it's not just a bag. People get the gear bags and they go, wow, it actually made it easier. It kept you moving. We're taking the pain points out. So that fit. We named the company with our cousins in Finland. That, you know, we reached out and we came up with all these different names and we landed upon that. And we didn't want to make it, you know, the reason we picked that name was a lot of the design and development we're doing is having sort of a Nordic feel and very, you know, we're down to the details and every little thing. So that kind of is what we are. And also, we didn't want to just name it Dave and Steve's Bag Company. Yeah.
That's a fair point. That's a fair point.
Naming a company is not an easy task.
No.
We could have outsourced it and paid someone a ton of money, but we went through thousands and thousands of words and names and languages and things. And it, you know, once we honed in on the Finnish aspect and it made sense for us, you know, just from the iconic sort of Finnish cold ski, you know, that made a lot of sense in his family. You know, the name Kulkia, it's pronounced many different ways. There's companies like Teva, people do that.
Yeah.
Are we happy with it? I say so. I think we are, because
I like it,
It's a little bit different, makes people think a little bit, and it's not, and also, by the way, not that this is our plan, it doesn't box us in from a company name perspective on what we can do with it.
Yeah.
Right? So if you have bags in the name or pack in the name, you're going to have a harder time going into other businesses or other areas that may not be bags or packs. Again, not that we're looking to, but we didn't want to box ourselves in.
Accessories in general, it's like that is a thing. Like, you do need accessories with bags. Like, there's things that go with bags that stem off from bags and that in general that you may want to get into that make people's lives easier. Because I think if you're a company that has that mindset where you want to make people's lives easier and their trip easier, then there's plenty of other ways you can do it other than bags. So
absolutely.
I think that's still true to your core without going astray. I guess, like you said, you're not making ski boots, but that's fine. Don't do that.
No.
It's, I don't think there's anything that could be. I mean, that's just a different animal.
I don't know how anybody gets into that.
I don't know why anybody does business. It, period. It's just the industry where everybody tells you your stuff sucks all the time. Like, it's like, it's miserable, man. I know. It's like, and with boot fitting, it's like the same thing. It's like people tell you that their feet hurt before their feet are even in the boot, you know? So I can't, yeah, good for them. Good for everybody that sells ski boots, but I'm glad that you guys don't. How do you guys manage? Look, so obviously social media is growing. The internet's the biggest thing in the entire world at this point. How are you guys connecting with that? Because obviously that's not like, that's not anybody's first thing. It's like, oh, I need to make an Instagram page or, oh, I need a Facebook page, you know? So what, how are you guys connecting with your customer like that?
Sure, sure. So as I mentioned maybe before this, I was in digital marketing and yep. search marketing and all that good stuff going back with a number of companies. And certainly I knew that there was a huge need for us to have these, you know, Instagram, Facebook, all the social accounts, as well as making sure that our products are showing up in search results.
Right.
So we did really well out of the gate. Fortunately, I had the knowledge and some of the skill set to get us to a place where we're getting organic traffic and not paying for it.
Yeah.
And then layering on top the social media aspect of it, I ran that for a period of time. We had some help with that, and now Jamie actually runs yep. that. He's done a great job. He's our designer, so he's able to manipulate images to make them look cooler or
yeah.
you know, whatever it might be, edit and stuff. So he's done a good job with that. I mean, there's always more work to be done around that.
Yeah.
You know, but we're hitting all those channels, trying to get as many resources we can onto them, because they are certainly important. And yeah, I mean, it's a main focus of collaboration and contact with our customers.
Yeah, and I think it's like it. Social media seems to be like the new way that people buy things, I guess, especially the youth. You know, people under 30. Like, everybody has an Instagram, everybody has a Facebook or right. a Twitter. So it's almost the easiest way to market your product to a customer without really paying mm-hmm. for anything. It's available. You can go look at it. And, like, the internet's obviously, like, we all know, like, in order to find your website, you have to type in the exact thing you want. Otherwise, you might not come up. Obviously, with search analytics and the way everything works is, like, yeah. You're kind of playing a game where you're like, we got to pay for some of it. We do have to pay so that people find the website. We have to like make sure that we're positioned correctly. But with social media, it's like you're right there. You just give people
right.
where they need to go, and
right.
they can follow you or not follow you. It's their prerogative, basically. But it's an interesting thing, I guess, for brands that are kind of growing at this same time to see where everybody's going.
Right.
So yeah. We'll see what happens, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's reality is you just have to hit all those channels. You have to hit yeah. all those places, and you know, certain channels are going to perform better for you depending on your product and who you're looking at.
Do you guys sell direct as well, or are you just selling in specialty retail?
No, we don't do anything direct.
Okay.
That's you know, we intentionally made that decision even during the, I think it was a few years back, you know, there was a big talk of you know, direct to consumer sales, and
yeah.
we intentionally avoided that.
Yeah.
You know, our focus is on the specialty shops and the premium dealers, and you know, we're there trying to support them, and we don't want to be competing with them. So yeah. that's not us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's an interesting topic, I guess, in ski retail, especially now, because there's a lot of companies that are making a killing. We just talked to Leventhal from J-Skis like last week, and he was saying for us, it makes sense to not do specialty retail.
Yeah.
Why is specialty retail important to you guys? I guess it kind of fits your mold, like your family business, essentially. So why? It makes sense to my head. It might not make sense to every listener's head. So why do you guys do the specialty retail thing? Because this is going to come out after the Leventhal episode in which he says, like, for a small business, it makes all the sense in the world for me to keep all my right. eggs in one basket and to go direct to consumer. So why?
They're different businesses.
They are. I agree.
They are. And you know, we do have online resellers as well, so consumers yeah. can buy online. So I think that, you know, again, as a newer company compared to the other guys, as a higher quality product with maybe a little bit of a higher price point. I think for people to really understand our products and why they're better when they touch and feel them, or you know, a sales rep in a store or boot fitter says, hey, this is the bag you want to put your boots in that I just sold you.
Mm.
You know, it's really, that is changing a bit. But we think that, you know, there's a lot of purchases made in retail shops. There's a lot of knowledge and experience, and people trust, you know, the shop representatives to help them make a good decision. And I think that really helps us, as well as we get visibility, right? So people are walking in to buy boots and skis, our product is there. You know, I think it really is important for us to be with retailers. It's important to support them, which we do, you know, quite a bit in various ways. So I would say that's the reason why retail is important for us. Mm. You know, for somebody who makes a different product, I couldn't speak to that directly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's different products and also just different way to market. We couldn't do what we're doing by just going direct to consumer, starting out from the gate. We probably could now, but we never would anyways. That's not our model.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you walk, people still go to ski shops for boot fitting.
For sure.
And they're going to see bags on the shelf.
That's the next logical sell.
It is. And if we're not there, then we're not getting exposure. And selling to specialty is a lot of work. It's a lot of money. And I can see why a lot of brands will say, I just don't want to do it. And, you know, money-wise for them, they can probably get in there and they do well that way, but it's not going to give them, my opinion, depending upon what they're doing. Or for us, we wouldn't have the growth potential. And we need to be in those brick-and-mortar specialty shops. They're important to us.
Yeah. And I think when you're growing, too, it's important because they're literally giving you advertising.
Absolutely.
They're advertising to the people that you want your product in the hands of anyway, you know? And, like, that's one of the things is, like, for Leventhal, and I told him this, it's like it makes sense for them because he is a platform in himself already. So he can market himself on your own. When you're a new brand,
right,
you need to get marketed. You need people to push your product.
Right.
And if you don't have – if you're not a name already, then what are you going to do, you know? So, but I think that's an interesting way.
But in line with that also, we're also – we've always been, and we still remain and will remain, very careful about who we make a dealer.
Yeah.
We're not, you know, so we only go to specialty shops. We only go to premium level retailers, be it brick and mortar or online. We're not, you know, we don't go to discounters whatsoever. And because we want those people to, well, one, we want to support them, and two, they add value. And that's what really matters to us.
Right, right. And you were talking with someone over at Meijer
in one Ted, point, yeah.
Yeah, around MAP and MSRP.
Yeah.
That whole fun game. So
we
don't play that game. Our MAP is our MSRP.
Okay.
So I like that. There's no guessing on that. And that really goes into you know, us being careful about who we partner with, because once people start advertising and discounting our products, that creates a major problem for our brand. It's really a race to the bottom at that point. So you know, we partner with good people who understand that.
Yeah.
And you know, it's worked out pretty well for us.
I think it's just a weird thing to do. Like, why are we playing this game? Like, I don't understand why that MAP MSRP thing exists at all. Like, there's literally no reason to do it, but they do it anyway. I wish everybody would just go, this is how much it costs. Yeah. And that's it. Like, there's no second part to it. This is how much it costs.
Yeah. It exists so that the retailer can basically mark it down and say we're compliant.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that, but like it's still like I get having sales events, you know, I get for Christmas you want to put one product on sale in one color, and I get it, but I guess it's kind of a slippery slope, and I'm sure that's how it started. It was like we started discounting some things and we said, screw it, let's just advertise all the time, you know?
Right.
So I don't know. Yeah. It's a weird thing, and I'm still never going to fully understand. And the customer, it's not like the customer's stupid either. The customer gets it. Like the customer fully understands that number, nobody sells things at.
Right.
Yeah. And then if you want to sell it at that, you're the bad guy as the retailer. Yeah. And I don't think that's necessarily fair. Some retailers need it because that's their model. They base it off of having a higher margin, but giving you more service out of
it.
Right. So it's not, but you can't explain that to a customer in a one-on-one sales situation because the next sales guy is just going to go, oh, ours is cheaper. You know, like that's it. Like it's as simple as that.
But
so
you know, that's a decision we made long, you know, in the very beginning. Right. Again, do things, do it right. It's just simple for the consumer and for the shop. It's always, that's the MAP and MSRP are one. You know, you're a consumer. You don't need to be running all over the web and this and that looking for a cheaper price because it's not going to be there.
Yeah.
And if you're in a retail specialty shop and the boot fitter is showing you a bag and you pull your phone, you know, right there and try and get cheaper online, you know, you're not going to see cheaper online. You might as well buy it at that shop with you know, he put the time in.
Yeah. And that's the thing, too, is like we're seeing more and more people literally pulling out their phones, scanning QR codes and just having the ability to check prices right there. Yep. So that MAP, MSRP, and sales game in general kind of screws people up because the sales guy isn't Googling every product on the floor because he's got 10,000 products on the floor.
Right.
So they're looking at it as, I'm just trying to get this guy a deal, and they're looking at me like I'm trying to screw him by getting him a price that's more than what it is on the internet. I didn't Google it before I talked to him, you know? So
maybe you could tell me. I never understand. because some of the brands will be out there and, you know, they'll sell to the specialty shop and the specialty shop will have a price they're supposed to be selling at. But then those products can be bought online for like 30% lower.
Yeah.
If I owned a shop, I'd be like, why would I carry this product now? Because he's
getting undercut.
He's killing me.
It's with some of it, it's like your hands are kind of tied. Like you're like, this is a product that people in general come in for. It may be the case that 10% of that product is online for way cheaper than what you can sell it for. You just do your best to not order that product. Like it's like you order around it, kind of. You order the brand, just not that one. So you can say, oh, right. It's not the same thing. It's different, right. But it's really hard because there's a lot of brands that do that, and everybody is really good now about trying to adhere to MAP policy, and for retailers and for dealers, or for retailers and for distributors rather. But it is a hard thing because like there's plenty of brands online. Like there's another bag company, for example, that does that all the time, where like they'll dump their old colors and like they change a zipper or something, and then all of a sudden it's like available everywhere on sale, and you could easily just ship them the same product. And who knows? Yeah. I don't understand it. I'm never going to understand it. And honestly, I don't really need to understand it. I think it's the way it is.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting thing. So what events do you guys have coming up soon? What's next on your plate?
So we have the Boston show down at the Seaport.
Cool.
Starts Thursday and runs through Sunday. We'll have a booth there and product available, and Dave's going to head out to Denver the following weekend. What's that, a Friday night start?
Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's a Colorado Convention Show.
It's the early Center. Show.
Yeah, Boston, yeah. Colorado Ski and Snowboard Expo. Yeah.
Sweet.
Consumer shows, And then we have OR coming up, obviously, in January.
Yep.
And we'll be going out to various rep shows or B2B shows.
Right.
Portland, Michigan.
Yeah, all over the place.
Yeah, all over
Providence.
The place.
The
Providence, show. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And you get the Ski Hall of Fame
April. In Park April. City, yeah.
Yep. So you guys got some good stuff going on.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, anything else you guys want to mention before we close this thing out?
Just want to give a shout out to our team.
Yeah.
Our wives for putting up with this mess for the past
I'm sure, give them a shout out for sure. You're going to get in trouble if you don't.
Our kids for putting up with us, taking pictures on the mountains with them and others. And our athletes, Nick Gepper, John Brown, and John Egan, and
all of our reps who've been with us for years now. They were kind enough to come on board with us, and they've seen us grow, and they're super excited. And all those dealers that have opened the doors to us. We're real careful who we make a dealer. So it's great that they've opened the doors and that we partner with them.
Mm. Right.
Yeah. We think about that all the time. It's great.
So where can people find you guys online? Where can people find you guys on social media, for the brand and for you guys if you want?
Social media, all the channels at Cool Kia.
Okay.
As well as our website, coolkia.com.
And that's spelled
K-E-A. And it's pronounced Cool Kia.
Cool Kia. Like, okay.
Cool Kia. Yeah. Three syllables.
I've been saying it wrong too. I've been saying Cool Kia.
We have some of our sales reps that still say it wrong.
But, I mean, it's all right. And honestly, I'm not going to blame anybody, but I think Chris is the one that made me say it wrong in the beginning. But anyway. Awesome. Well, I appreciate you guys doing this. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, thank you very much for having us.
Awesome.
It's been great.
Appreciate it.
Yep. No problem.
Bye. Cheers.
So that was our episode with David and Steven from Cool Kia Bags. I hope you guys enjoyed it. That's a little bit different of an episode than what we normally do. We talked basically just about bags for an hour and the company and all that kind of stuff. But I'd like to get more companies in here because it seems like people like listening to the inside bits about the company, the industry, like people that they don't really get to hear from. So we will try to do more of those as the season kind of progresses here. But it is it's busy time, man. It's winter. November's been crazy so far. Hopefully everybody's gotten some good snow in so far. And be sure to, again, follow these guys on social media at Cool Kia, K-U-L-K-E-A. I think that's two times in a row that I've spelt it correctly. And follow us on social media at Out of Podcast. Be sure to also like, rate, review, subscribe, all those things. iTunes is the big one, but all of them, if whatever you listen to the show on, would be great. It helps other people find the show, and we like keeping that 5-star rating up. So tell a friend to tell a friend, and that's all for now. Thanks for listening, guys. Bye.